That's so cool. You're like, what did you just show me? Why are we watching birds run around the screen? I can't wait to tell you. Okay, so here's what just happened. Here's what you just saw. So that's a mama bird, right? Teaching a baby bird how to hunt worms. Did you see that happen? So like baby birds don't just like have this instinct, which I just thought they just knew how to like get out of the nest and then they just go and get their own food. The mama actually brought the bird out. And then did you see her? She had like 6 worms in her mouth and she was walking around doing like a little Easter egg hunt with worms for her bird, her baby bird, and like teaching him to like slowly go. And that's how he learned how to hunt his food. I thought that was so cool when I saw it. So I wanted to share that with you. You guys grateful for that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Now you know. Look at that. All right. And knowing is half the battle. So now you know that. So tonight's message actually is about birds. And you probably guessed, like, these birds do some cool things. And Jesus talks about them in a passage in Matthew. So open up to Matthew 6. And we're going to look at some birds tonight that he talks about in a really cool way. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34 is what we're looking at. And as he talks about these birds, it makes you think, like, so that bird's out there in the field and he has to learn how to hunt his food. And you probably never asked yourself this. You're like, self, do birds have refrigerators? Like, where do they put their food, right? And they have this, like, cabinet and they keep all their good snacks in there, a little worm now and then because they're hungry. No, like, they don't have that. And animals don't do that. So if they don't have refrigerators, like, how do they get a snack at midnight? Like, what do they do for their food? They hunt it every time they need it. Like, those birds will just go, like, I'm hungry. So then they go and they find a worm and they kill it and they eat it. I think that's the coolest thing. And Jesus brings that up. And he's actually showing us a really important lesson about our lives from some birds. Something so simple about how we should be living that sometimes life gets so complicated in the human world, in our culture, in the things that we're doing, that we miss really simple lessons in something like a bird hunting a worm. So I love that. And tonight we're going to look at it in Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Jesus starts off by saying, therefore, I tell you, and he says, do not be anxious about your life. So there's the lesson. Don't miss that part. Remember that. Do not be anxious about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, nor what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So there's the lesson. Don't be anxious. And you're like, okay, I got it, right? Like, I got it. I'm not supposed to be anxious. But yet, so many of us deal with this anxiety that has just gripped our culture. There's so many things that we have that we could worry about, right? Jesus, when he went through this list, could have just had this massive list that he writes down here for us of all sorts of things for us to worry about. If I went around the room tonight and I handed out a paper, I'm like, tell me the things you're worried about, things that make you nervous or anxious. We'd have this massive notebook full of things. Right? Life is not like devoid of things that we could be anxious about. But Jesus doesn't pick all those really complicated ones. He picks some really simple ones. Now, hear what he says. He says, therefore, I tell you. That's how he starts it off. So he's referring to something else. Something just happened that he said right before this. That's why he says, therefore. So let's see what happened. Matthew 6:21, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this whole passage about birds and flowers and being anxious is hinging on the fact that he was like, hey, listen, your heart is wherever your treasure is. Whatever you value the most, that's where your heart and your life will just be and revolve around. It's what you'll care about the most. So you got to start off with a question. What is your treasure? What do you value the most of everything that you have? Now, for some, it might be a really easy answer. It might be very obvious. For others, you might have to think about it for a minute. You might value something that you're not willing to admit you actually value so much. But whatever it is, Jesus has a word for us that your heart is going to be right next to the thing that you treasure the most. So if I want to know who you are at the core of you, I could just look to see what you treasure. What does this person care most about? That's going to tell me a lot about who they are, because that's where their heart will be linked. And so as Jesus says that, now we get this passage, all right? So remember that part. We need to keep this truth in mind that he just said. Do not be anxious about your life. For Jesus, it's like perfect logic, right? Because your heart, if it's linked to earthly things, you have so many reasons to be anxious, because you can lose every one of those earthly things. Physical things can break, they can go away, they can disappear, they can be stolen, they can fade. Physical things just don't last forever. And so, if you see them as your treasure, you have a lot to worry about, because you're on the brink of losing them all the time. But if your treasure is found in heaven, where Jesus tells you to have it, that can never be taken from you. If the most valuable thing in your life is Jesus, is your relationship with God, is the fact that you're going to spend eternity in heaven as opposed to the next 60, 70, 80 years here on earth with stuff, physical things that won't really make you happy, that will fade and break and go away. Which one will cause less anxiety? The one that can't be taken from you. The one that lasts forever, right? Because that's where your heart is. That's your treasure. And so Jesus starts off with that thing in mind. So he's able to say something kind of harsh in a minute to us. And it's not really harsh in light of that. It sounds harsh, but when you take it in light of the fact that he just said heaven should be the most precious thing to you, then it makes more sense, right? So don't be anxious about your life. Now, even the most reckless person in this room, the craziest person who's like carefree and acts like they're not worried about anything, right? Who's that one in the room? Like, there are a few of you that are just like free spirits, right? You're wild at heart and you're out there just living life. Even you have worries. If we dig deep enough, we'll find anxiety. If we dig deep enough, we'll find things that you worry about. All of us, part of the human experience, means that we have worries and we have things that give us anxiety. So what is yours? What are those things that trigger you, that set you up to be stressed or worried or anxious? What places in your heart do you tend to guard the most and worry about the most as you protect it? Some of you guys might be like, oh, I know immediately. I know what they are. It's just so tender in my heart. And others, just probably the first time you thought about it. And you're like, man, I never really dug that deep. I want to challenge you tonight to dig that deep. See what drives you. See those things that make you worried or anxious, because those things will drive your life if you let them. And he says this. So don't be anxious. He says, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. He could have, like I said earlier, picked all sorts of crazy things. He could have said, like, college. He could have said, like, health problems. He could have said, like, the list just goes on, right? But he doesn't. He picks the most necessary things for us to survive. Food and water. He starts with that. Food and water. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Well, you know, Jesus, we kind of have to, because if we don't eat or drink, we're not going to make it very long. Right? Like, you could have picked oxygen and said that's not important, but it is, because I get to breathe or I die. Like, these are very important, necessary things that Jesus picked. It might have been easier if he had picked some of the other stuff, because we don't need those to survive weeks, you know, like, or days. But he didn't. He picked the things that are necessities for us. Ever wonder why he picked those things? The most obvious. And so many of us are lucky enough that we really don't ever worry about what we're going to eat. You know, some of us eat too much, right? Like, we love food. And we're lucky enough to live in a place and have enough resources to be able to eat food. You're not worried about where your next meal is coming from, most of us. You're not worried that you're going to die of thirst this week, you know, like, but it's interesting that 690 million people around the world, that's what the estimate is, probably more now, actually do worry about that. They're worried about what their next meal is going to be, what they're going to eat, how they're going to survive, what they'll drink and not dehydrate and die. Some of you have gone on mission trips and you've been to villages where you've seen them and wondering, like, how will we get clean water? You've seen their little kids running around villages with these really swollen bellies because there's so many parasites in their water that it swells up their belly, or they're malnourished and their hair's turning crazy colors and falling out because they don't have enough food on a daily basis. And you've been there and you've seen those kids and you've hugged those kids and you've played soccer with those kids and made jokes with them. So you have seen firsthand that this is a real thing. We're just so lucky to be in a very small percentage of the world where we don't really worry. Even our poorest of poor here in the United States, most of them aren't worried about what they're going to eat. They're considered some of the wealthiest people around the rest of the world. And so this can almost seem disconnected for us in a way, but at the time Jesus was talking, people really did have to worry about stuff like this. Like, it was the most basic necessity of life. What will I eat? What will I drink? And what will I put on so I don't freeze and die? Like, I need clothes. Some of you guys have been to Guatemala with us. You've seen the villages where we've installed pumps of water so people didn't have to walk for miles and miles to the river to get water. We put filters in different huts, all the huts in the houses, so they can have the clean water come out and not have those parasites. You've been a part of that. Some of you guys, man, I challenge you to go on our next trip next year to see this, to help in this, and help people have that those clean resources. Be a part of our trip to be able to share Christ with people who need the gospel. But Jesus definitely points it out because it is an absolute necessity. And he tells us, don't worry about it. Like, don't worry about these things. And I look at Jesus and I'm like, but don't you know how much I need them? And he's like, yeah, I do. Look what he says next. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? And this is the part I told you was going to sound harsh. Like, Jesus, I'm starving. And he looks at you, he's like, but, you know, isn't life more than food? And you're like, that's real kind. Like, that's so sensitive of you, Jesus, as I'm starving here. And you're telling me that life is more than food? Like, there are other more important things in life than that? Like, what about my stomach growling right now? And don't you care? I want to tell you, Jesus does care, and he's not being harsh here. He's just digging deeper. He's trying to show us something else, and he's not saying food isn't important. He's not saying that water and clothing isn't important. But he wants our heart to see what's truly important, even more important than the most basic necessities of life. Not that they're less important, but that this, what he's trying to teach us, is that much more important. That sometimes we don't even think about. We forget all about what he's about to tell us and how much we really need this. We think the physical things of life are what we actually need. And he's like, wait, hold on. As important as those things are, they're not the most important. Look what he says. Look at the birds, right? It's like they're just standing there and they're chilling and he points up in the sky. He's like, let me prove this to you. I'm not being harsh. I just want you to look up at those birds, those critters flying around up there. And they're landing, they're getting their food and they're doing their thing. And as they do, he's able to like point at them and people are watching and seeing these birds, caw, 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 or whatever they do, right? They're like, flying. And they're making their little thing. And he says, they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. These birds aren't out there with like tools and shovels and like digging gardens and putting in seeds into the ground and then like collecting them, putting these big barns or like your refrigerator, you know, like storing up their food. They're not doing that. They're not worried about where their next meal will come from. As a matter of fact, like I just showed you that video, they just, when they're hungry, they go hunt. Every meal is hunted. Every meal is gathered for most animals, especially those birds. And he's like, they're not worried about their next meal. Now, you've probably been to the grocery store with your mom to like go grocery shopping, or sitting watching TV late at night and like raided the fridge for that late night snack. So you know what I'm talking about, to have that meal just like right there. And Jesus is like, there's something more important than that. There's something more important than even the things that you think keep you alive, that give you energy and strength for every second of your day. And as he points to those birds, he's like, they're not worried about their next meal. Now, Jesus isn't saying that building that garden or loading up that barn is a bad thing. It's not at all what Jesus is saying here. He's not like, hey, listen, be really lazy, sit around the couch, never do any work, it's okay because God will feed you and take care of you. He's not saying that. Don't hear that in this passage. What he is saying is that your heart should not depend on the food and the water and the clothes to help you survive. They shouldn't be the necessities. They shouldn't be the most important thing. But you should actually, as a believer in Jesus, say the most important thing in my life that I need more than food, that I need more than clothes and more than water is Jesus. Because without Jesus, none of that is going to be any good to me anyway. It's funny because God can show up when people get thrown into furnaces, standing up for their faith. And Jesus can walk around in the fire with them and keep them from being burned. He could be on the battlefield next to a little shepherd boy and protect him from a giant. He could be in a lion's den where he closes up the mouth of lions and protects his servants. The thing we need the most is Jesus. I don't know what the thing is that you feel like you need the most in life, but even more than your own survival, than the breath you're taking right now that's keeping us all alive as we breathe in this room, even more than that, we need Jesus. And that's the thing earlier I said we probably haven't even thought about. We just see our needs. God, answer my prayer. God, here's my list. Here's the stuff I need. God, do these things for me. Instead of, God, I just want you. More than all of these things, I trust you. If I have food or don't have food tonight, it's okay either way if it's your plan. Doesn't mean I'm not going to work hard. Doesn't mean I'm not going to like try to plan ahead or be a good steward. It just means that my heart isn't going to depend on that work and that food and that storehouse. My heart is going to depend and trust in God's plan for my life above everything. Even if it's time of famine and drought and there's no water to be seen, I will trust in God. Those birds, Jesus is looking at them saying, they trust. They have more faith in their hearts than you, as he points at his disciples. Can we have that type of faith that says, God, I need you more than breath itself. I trust you more than breath itself, more than these basic necessities of life. I need you. Because when you have that type of faith, when God grants you that faith, watch out. He's raising up a champion. He's going to send you to build his kingdom in ways you never imagined. Because God is that strong. But he is calling for you to have faith. He says this, are you not of more value than they? You know, they're swooping down, they're doing their thing, and they're watching. And he's like, see how they're just kind of, they're getting their food. And they're not anxious, they're not worried, they're not full of anxiety about their job and their families and their finances and all these things. They're just saying, God, provide, and there's a worm, you know, and they're eating. It's something so simple. It almost seems childish. And as people watch, though, it hits them so deep in their hearts because they have to admit what we probably have to admit tonight, too, if we're honest. I don't have that kind of faith. A stupid bird has more faith than me. It's trusting God where his next meal will come from. And here I am, full of stress and worry. Because I'm not just saying, Lord, I do trust you. You might take my life and bring me to heaven tomorrow, and that's okay. I trust you. That's the type of faith God's calling us to have, because our value is more than some bird. Our value is worth this only son dying on a cross, giving his life for you. Listen, if Jesus died for you, what will he not do for you? He's already given his life. Don't you think he'll do anything and everything for your good? Because he loves you that much. And if he's willing to do that, what do we have to worry about? Why are we so stressed out about everything? He goes on and he says, and which of you, he points to him, like he gets personal. He's like, which of you, being anxious, can add one single hour to his span of life? When you're worried, does it help you live longer? Is it going to get you that next meal? Is it going to fill up your refrigerator with food or gas in your tank, in your car? Like, no. Worrying doesn't help make anything better in any way. Anxiety only hurts your health and makes it worse. And so when we are faced with difficult times and moments in our lives, we have a choice. It comes down to this. You can worry or you can trust God. And that's where Jesus brings us to that choice. He says, you can either sit here and be full of anxiety over all these things, or you could be like those little birds over there, and you can trust God. He knows how much you need, and he wants you to have it. And he's got this incredible plan for your life, but will you trust him? When anxiety attacks and you're sitting in your class and things are just like, spinning, and you're like, how am I going to do all this stuff? I want to challenge you to just sit there and say the name of Jesus. Just ask God to give you the faith, to trust that he has a plan, that your life is bigger than all of these things you think you need. And let him take that worry from you. It says, and why are you anxious about clothing? So he goes from food and water, and now he's looking at clothing. And some of us, it's like, man, again, we live in a place where we're like, am I wearing cool enough clothes? Is it the right brand? What will my friends think? Can I do this like sweet fit and like put it on Instagram and like have everybody like, hey, bae, and like all this stuff? Like, we're like worried about our style, right? And these people worried about like, am I gonna like freeze tonight? Like, do I have enough clothes to protect me from the sun or when it's cold out to keep me warm? Like a necessity of life. And Jesus says, why are you worried about that? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. Like these beautiful flowers are growing up. He says, they neither toil nor spin. They don't do any work. They don't like sit at a loom and like make like their little clothes for their little petals and make all these beautiful like leaves to go on them. And no, they just, God just, look what he says. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, King Solomon was one of the wealthiest kings to ever exist. He had so much money, he could have any clothing that he wanted, right? The most beautiful clothes. He just had people make it and just be like, go, just make this, make it a pure gold. You know, he could do it. And Jesus is like, look at the lilies. They don't do any work. They don't have any money. And they're not sitting at some loom making clothes. And yet, they're so much more beautiful than any clothing you're going to see in the stores or on some rich king. Because God cares about them. He just keeps driving us back to the same point. The things we think we need so badly, God's got it under control. And what we really need is to trust him. The thing we really need is to trust God. More than water, more than food, more than air. We need to trust our God. I remember we were in Guatemala recently and we went into this one village where there was a lady who was actually, she was at a loom. And it was the first time I had actually seen someone take balls of cotton that were like ripped out of like cotton plants. She had like this bowl with all this cotton just kind of like laying there. And she took the cotton and she put it in this little pencil looking thing and like spun it around. And all of a sudden it just starts spinning and it comes out as this string. And I'm just like, what? Like, I had never seen a cotton ball turn into, like, yarn before. And I don't know why that was so crazy for me, but it was, like, insanely crazy, like magic. She was, like, sitting there doing some, like, Avengers-quality superpower thing. And I was like, what's happening right now? So this yarn comes out, and then she takes it and puts it in this other thing and starts, like, going through these pegs. And as she goes through the pegs, it starts to, like, spin up into a thicker piece of, like, yarn or fabric or whatever. Like, it's crazy. It's this big, long thing just all connected and doesn't fall apart. Like, how does that happen? And then she takes it outside and she sits at this loom and she starts putting these strings individually through this big loom thing. And she's taking this board and she's sliding it like up and down. And they're like, what is happening right now? This is crazy. It's turning into this gorgeous like fabric, this quilt, this blanket, all these beautiful colors and all these things. And I saw it from this ugly piece of dirty cotton laying on her table, and it turned into this incredible, beautiful blanket. Like, how does that happen? Like, that's wild. And to think of all the work that goes into that. And Jesus is pointing over at a flower, at a lily, and going, it doesn't do any of it. It just grows. God just clothes it. God gives it the energy and the water and the nutrients it needs to grow and have these beautiful petals and all this splendor. And you could have that too. If you just trust in Jesus, it's so much more important than any other thing in your life. Some of us just want to make it. You know, I want to be rich. God, give me lots of money. Give me an awesome job. Give me a big house and a fast car and a beautiful family. Like, here's God, please give me all that. And that might be God's plan for you. And maybe God has none of that planned for you. But the key is what Jesus is saying is that he wants us to trust him either way. He wants us to want him and his will more than any of that stuff, even if it's the most important necessity of our life to keep us breathing. He wants your heart. He says, therefore, don't be anxious. Right? What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. Like, our world is out there worrying about the same stuff, but guess what? You're not just another person in the world. You are a child of the God of all creation. Your heavenly Father is the King of everything. You're not just another person out there in this world. And so what he promises you is that if you trust him, he will care for you and protect you, and his best perfect plan will be over your life. If you'll take your heart and say, God, do it. And that's fine. We can talk about it tonight. It sounds all like churchy and beautiful and whatnot. But when we leave here and we're like faced with a situation that starts to make us nervous, and we're like, I might lose this thing or this person or this friend or this significant other or whatever, this thing that matters so much to me. That's when it hits. That's when you have to think back to this passage and say, what did God say about that? What did God promise? Because I'm starting to get full of worry, and I really don't want to lose this person or thing. It's so valuable to me. And God says, do you love me more? Do you love me most? Could you take that thing and open up your hands to me and say, Lord, if you want to take it, take it. It's yours. I want you more than what I want in this life, from this world. I want you most. Because when you can say that and your heart is where your real treasure is, worry fades away. Anxiety disappears because nobody is stealing you out of the hands of God. Nobody can take you out of his hands. Nobody's strong enough. So he ends with this. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Like, that's what we should be seeking after. Where's your heart? Where your treasure is. What's your treasure? I hope it's the kingdom of God. Because that's the only way that you can live life without the worries, without the anxiety, where you can have a faith that carries you through difficult times. When you're saying, God, your kingdom is the most important thing to me. Let your kingdom of faith be built in my heart. I want to trust you. I want to believe in you. I want to serve you. I want to take that hope and bring it to other people so they can have it. People walking around with worry and anxiety in their stomachs as they're walking through their day, and they don't have hope. They don't know what tomorrow will bring, but you do, because he promises it to you. Good or bad, whatever comes, he promises he's there. He promises you a future. He promises you eternal life. He promises you his love and protection. And they need to know that. Your friends need to know that. Your families need to know that. And so the Lord is saying, not only believe it, but take it to other people. Let them experience that hope that he's offering you too. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God, I want to live in a way that's aligned with your will. More than anything else, I want to live a righteous life. More than having things or power or influence or friends or whatever it would be, the thing I want most is to look like you. To be just in your image. To be lined up with your will and your righteousness. And then he promises this. And all these things, all these other necessities of life that matter, that he cares about. He's not saying he doesn't. Just saying they're not the most important. He says all these things, they'll be added to you. He'll take care of them. Trust God with those things. He says tomorrow has enough worry of its own. Like, there's all sorts of stuff that you're going to have that you could worry about tomorrow. So just focus on today. Just like those birds find their meal each time. Focus on today and say, Lord, today, when you wake up, God, it's yours. Take my day. When I get stressed out, when things come my way, when like I get that big test or this friend does this crazy thing out of left field I didn't know was going to happen, God, like all these things could just come in. Today's yours. And as those things come, Lord, help me be like the birds. Help me trust you. Help me know that you have a plan. Take that worry and anxiety and just take it away from me, God, and fill me up with faith and hope, knowing and confidence that you keep your word, God, that you love me, and I can have hope. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We got enough going on today. Will you give God that stuff right now? You say, Lord, here's all these things. My heart's full of stuff, but I want to hand it to you. And I want to tell you tonight, as I sit here in Firehouse, I want you more than anything else. You, God, are my treasure. Will you close your heads and close your eyes and bow your heads with me, please? We're about to do more worship, and as we sing, I just want you to be thinking through what those things are in your heart that you're guarding so tightly. The things that might have your stomach in knots tonight. Maybe you came and you're nervous, like you are full of stress and worry, and it's even hard for you to focus on what we're doing because you're thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow or maybe even tonight. What's going to happen when you get home? Like, there are just so many things. And if you've brought those tonight, here's what I just want to ask you to do as we sing this next song. Just take a minute and say, Lord, will you point them out to me? Will you show me the things that I need to lift up to you tonight and say, God, I need to trust you. So here, just take these things.